This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Water they gave me yesterday, it was nice, it was cold.
Yeah, because I saved that one.
Okay, they're looking out. To my right? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أنا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We come now inshallah عز وجل to the second aspect of studying some of what was mentioned in the Quran and in the authentic sunnah of Al-Mustafa Al-Mukhtar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the Masih Ad-Dajjal, who many times has been translated as being the Antichrist. And as we mentioned yesterday, from the important aspects of this issue is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam mentioned ma bayna khalqi Adam ila qiyam as-sa'ati khalqun akbaru min ad-dajjal. There was never a creation of fitna since the time that Allah Azza wa Jalla created Adam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. His fitna is bigger than this, ad-dajjal. And how can it not be a major fitna when the da'wah of ad-dajjal is that he's going to call the people to worship him, and he's going to claim the uluhiyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not just the rububiyah of Allah, that he's the creator of the people, or he is the individual who provides for the people, but he's going to claim the haq of al-uluhiyah, that he deserves to be worshipped. And he's going to have with him the means and the ways to prove that from the way of shubahat in the minds of the people who see him. So it's no doubt that he is the biggest fitna for the people of this ummah, the ummah of at-tawheed. And the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, ikhwani, as you all know, and it should be stressed over and over and over again, if a person dies and he comes to Allah Azza wa Jal with tawheed, if he committed all of the sins in the world, as many of them that you can possibly think of, Allah is going to forgive him sooner or later. He may not even have to go to the nar of Jahannam. He's under the mashia of Allah, provided he didn't die on shirk. In the hadith al-Qusi, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah Azza wa Jal said, Ya ibn Adam, lo annaka ataytani, lo annaka ataytani biqarab al-ard khataya, thumma laqitani, la tushriku bi shay'a, la ataytuka biqarabiha maghfiratan wa la ubali. If you die, son of Adam, the day that you die and you completed and filled up this whole world with sins and mistakes, no matter how many, no matter what they were, and you don't make shit with me, I'm going to come to you with as much forgiveness, and I don't care, I don't mind. So if an individual were to die and he murdered 100 people, he died and he was drinking khamr, he died and he was a homosexual, actively engaged in practicing homosexuality, akramakumullah. If he died like that, but he believed in la ilaha illallah, he's going to go to Jannah sooner or later. And no one here has the right to say that he's not a Muslim. And no one here has a right to say he won't go to Jannah. If Allah Azza wa Jalla wishes to forgive him, he'll forgive him and put him in Jannah without any hisab. And if Allah chooses to punish him, he'll punish him, and he's going to come out of that hellfire. As the Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and qala la ilaha illallah, nafa'athu yawman min dahri. Anybody who says la ilaha illallah, one day is going to benefit him sooner or later. A Dajjal is going to come and he's going to challenge this issue in the Muslims. He's going to try to make people make shirk with Allah by taking him as the object of worship. So the Muslim cannot be in any doubt concerning this issue. The reason why we have been created is not to do anything other than to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُهُمْ مِنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. We've been created to worship Allah alone. So there can't be any doubt about the Muslim falling into the issue of shirk in any shape, form, or fashion. The prophets and the messengers who were sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in, they were sent not to socialize with their people. They were sent not so the people can brag, we have this Rasul with us, that Nabi came from us. They weren't sent for that. They weren't sent with the golden objective of just marrying from their people. They were sent with the golden objective of calling the people to the worship of Allah. The antithesis of what a Dajjal is all about. All of them. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. For every nation that came on this earth, Allah sent to them a Rasul, and each and every one of those Rasuls went to those people, and those messengers told those people, worship Allah. But not just worship Allah. Worship Allah and avoid worshiping the false deities. Those books, this Quran, Torah, Injil, the Zabur, the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa, the revelation that came down to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and the Asbat, and all of the Nabiyeen, those books that were revealed, the sole purpose that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed those books was for the sole purpose of establishing the Tawheed of Allah and the worship of Allah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِي. So all of these issues, they point to the significance and the importance of a Tawheed. There is nothing more important than that. Nothing more important than that. The Jannah, the Nar, created for the Tawheed of Allah. Al-Jihad fi sabilillah, legislated for Tawheed. The Khilafah, legislated for the Tawheed. So the point, Ikhwani, is a Dajjal is going to come, and he's going to compromise, and he's going to be a challenge to that issue. So the first thing that we want to deal with today is a shubha that many people have. People who are not grounded in knowledge, and sometimes people who are not exposed to the realms of scholastics in al-Islam. And that is, a Dajjal is the biggest fitna. Every Nabi, every Rasul warned against him. The hadith of the Dajjal is mutawatir, meaning there are many, many, many narrations for many companions. Sometimes you find a hadith only has one companion narrating that hadith. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Only Umar narrated that hadith and no other companion narrated that hadith. The hadith of al-Dajjal, there were over 30 companions who narrated hadith about Dajjal in one way or another, mutawatir, as those ulama of al-Islam said. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, when he brought those hadith and explained in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said that those hadith are mutawatir. His student, al-Imam al-Sakhawi, wrote a book called Fathul Mughith and Mustal al-Hadith. He said that hadith of al-Dajjal, mutawatir. Ibn Kathir, he has his book al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. He claimed that the hadith of al-Dajjal, mutawatir. So the scholars put this in the usul of the minhaj of the Muslim. So the question that presents itself is, why is it and how is it that such an important issue has not been mentioned in the Quran? The word of Dajjal, you're not going to find it in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla in any shape, form, or fashion in terms of the ishtiqaq of the word. You're not going to find the word Dajjala, Dajjil, Dajjal, Dajjalun. You're not going to find any direct mention of a Dajjal. Because of that reality, some people came and they said, we don't accept this issue about a Dajjal. It's not mentioned in the Quran. If anyone claims that he takes only the Quran and not the Sunnah, he's not going to be able to position himself, to empower himself, to protect himself from the Dajjal. Because everything about the Dajjal is mentioned in the authentic Sunnah. So to answer that question, that shubaha from the shubahat of the people of Ilm al-Kalam, first of all, some of the scholars were of the opinion that the Dajjal was mentioned in the Quran, not directly, but indirectly. And from what they mentioned was that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creation of the heavens and the earth is bigger and greater than the creation of the people. One of the best tafsirs in al-Islam is the tafsir of the great Shafi'i scholar, Imam al-Baghawi. Al-Imam al-Baghawi, he brought this ayat in Surah Ghafir, and he established that many of the Salaf were of the opinion that this ayat, the creations of the heavens and the earth, is bigger and greater than the creation of an-nas, the people. Some of the Salaf said, an-nas in this ayat is talking about a Dajjal. It's talking about a Dajjal. So with some of the people of knowledge from the Mufassirin, they said this ayat is mentioning the Dajjal. Another ayat of the Quran is the statement of Allah Ta'ala that mentions some of the Ashratu Sa'a. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسٍ إِيمَانُهَا. On that day, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, on that day, when some of the signs of your Lord comes, when those signs come, it won't benefit a person's soul to have iman on that particular day. So the ayah said, some of the signs, when they come, they're not going to benefit the nafs of the individual who believes in them when they come. This hadith has been explained by the hadith of this ayah has been explained by the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Nabi said about this ayat sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, thalathatun idha kharajna la tanfa'u nafsan imanuha lam takun aminat min qabl, ad-daba wad-dajjal wa tulu'u shams min maghribiha. The hadith is similar to the ayat. It said three things. If they were to happen, if they were to appear, if they were to come out, then a person believing in them when they come out, they are not going to benefit his iman at all. He mentioned the first one is the animal that's on the earth, the big animal. And the second thing is the Dajjal. And the third thing is the sun being rising from the west and setting in the east. So that hadith explains that the Dajjal was mentioned in the Quran, not by his name, but again by an ishara. And for the person who has iman, that's more than enough. Even if it wasn't mentioned at all, it's more than enough as long as it's established in the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And as we mentioned yesterday as well, ikhwani, from the ajwiba and answers that some of the ulama of al-Islam gave, they said that Allah azza wa jal in the Quran, as far as the Quran is concerned, Allah Azza wa Jal in mentioning Isa ibn Maryam and only Isa ibn Maryam, then since the Mahdi is connected to Isa, he's not mentioned in the Quran. He wasn't mentioned in that hadith where the Nabi mentioned the 10 major signs. He didn't mention the Mahdi. Allah didn't mention the Mahdi in the Quran. Allah didn't mention the Dajjal in the Quran because the Dajjal is connected to Isa ibn Maryam. So those ayats that mention Isa ibn Maryam as being a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal, they are in essence indirectly or directly mentioning the Dajjal. Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لِيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. There's no one from Ahlul Kitab except that he's going to believe in the Dajjal before he dies. But the word Dajjal wasn't mentioned. He's going to believe in him before he dies, meaning the Dajjal. Another ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. Verily, he is a sign for the hour, a sign of the hour. So the point here is, whether a Dajjal was mentioned in the Quran directly or not is irrelevant. The Muslim is responsible for taking the Quran and the Sunnah, and the one who has the Sunnah in its totality and it's authentic, he's going to practice Islam better and more completely than the one who only has the Quran is going to practice, because the Quran was explained by the Sunnah. So the real sign of al-Iman is whether it's Quran and Sunnah or both, the Muslim is going to believe in it. So that's the first issue that we mentioned today. Why the Dajjal wasn't mentioned is really irrelevant. The relevant point is that we have to learn about him. We have to be ready to protect ourselves from him. We have to know his signs in order to be of the people who get the ismah or the protection from Allah. Lastly, concerning that issue, some scholars said that Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't mention him ihtiqaran bihi, showing that his issue is small. You don't mention people of innovation and people who don't deserve to be mentioned because you don't want to make the issue bigger. There's a problem that's going on. Managing the problem, eradicating the problem, sometimes it comes as a result of not broadcasting the issue. Don't broadcast it. Leave it quiet. Group of brothers making trouble. They making balbala. Don't concern yourself with those people. Make them well known. An internet site, a website, a fitna. Don't mention it so that people don't go back and find out about it. And thus it becomes unnecessarily more mentioned. So some of the scholars took that position. In the final analysis, the important thing is, whether it's in the Quran and the Sunnah, we have to accept it and we have to embrace it. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. It's not acceptable for believing man, believing woman, if Allah or His Messenger, if they decree something, decide something, the believing man and believing woman, they don't have anything to say concerning that issue. Second point for today, Ikhwani, is a Dajjal. Where is he going to come from? Where is he going to come from? Again, by knowing some of these basic issues, it excludes in the mind of the Muslim people and things from being something that they claim. A few years ago when I lived in Florida, there was a revert brother. He was from Trinidad. He was a revert. He had a lot of dreams. He was a decent individual. He started having dreams, and he started to claim that he was the Mahdi. The Mahdi. And because you have some basic knowledge of Al-Islam, you know that the Mahdi is not coming from Trinidad. You know that for a fact. I don't care how much he jumps up and down and screams, I'm the Mahdi, I'm the Mahdi. The Mahdi is not coming from Trinidad. And then when he started finding out things about the Mahdi, like the Mahdi is from the Itra of Fatima. He comes from the descendants of Fatima. He went to Egypt in some alleyway, some back street, and he got the shajara of the Ahlul Bayt made, and he got his name put in there. That doesn't change the reality of you're not the Mahdi because you come from Trinidad, and your name is not. He had a name, another name. Salman was his name. He found out the Mahdi's name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He changed his name. So right away we say, you're not the Mahdi, son. You can't be the Mahdi. Same thing with the Dajjal. The Nabi said about where Dajjal is coming from, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Dajjal yakhruju fi ard bil mashriq yuqalu laha Khurasan. إنه خارج خلدة بين الشام والعراق. He said that a Dajjal is going to come out from a place that is east of Al-Medina, of the Arabian Peninsula. It's east of Al-Medina. Not east of Toronto, not east of Timbuktu, not east of Russia, east of where the Prophet spoke these words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was in the Khalij, the Arabian Peninsula. And that place is called Khurasan, well-known city, Khurasan. And then another hadith said, when he comes out, he's going to be between Al-Sham and Al-Iraq. So these are two different hadith. Ikhwani, many of the hadith of the Mahdi and the Dajjal are a hadith in Athar Mushkala. They're problematic because some of them seem to be contradictory. And we know, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that if the Quran was from other than Allah, you would have found in it a lot of ikhtilaf. You'll find in it a lot of ikhtilaf. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ إِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. If the Nabi's hadith were not from Allah Azza wa Jal, there would be a lot of ikhtilaf. He says this over here, then opposite over there. So one hadith said that the Mahdi is going to come out from a place called Khurasan. And another hadith said, when he comes out, he's going to be between Al-Sham and Al-Iraq. Khurasan is not between Sham and Al-Iraq. Khurasan is somewhere else. And both of those hadith are authentic in the Sahihain. So how do we harmonize the two hadith? How did the scholars of Al-Islam harmonize those two hadith? They harmonized the two hadith by making a plausible explanation that can be understood. It's a possibility, and Allah knows best. They said that when the Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll come out from Khurasan, then that's where he'll start from. That's where he'll start his journey from. That's where he'll be at, and that's where he'll leave. They said, but the other hadith, that he'll be between Al-Sham and Al-Iraq, Al-Sham being Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, Palestine, Syria, that area over there. Al-Sham is that area. The other hadith said he's going to be between Al-Iraq and Al-Sham. The scholar said in that area, that's the place where his situation is going to become well known. That's where the drama and the fitna and the static is going to start. As for his initial coming out, then it's going to be as the Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in Khurasan. When he comes out, he's going to have some followers. Who are the followers of the Dajjal? The followers of the Dajjal at the top of the list are the Yahud. The Yahud. in the UK, I don't know how it is here in Toronto, but in the UK, we have to, as du'at, be very careful about how we express things in our religion now. Because if you say certain things about certain groups of people who are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, in the UK right now, you can get in trouble as being a preacher of hate, as being a person who is calling to disunity. And instead of calling to community cohesion, you're trying to be divisive. So now if a person says that the Jews are descendants, some of them are swines and monkey, you can get in trouble with that, although that's in the Quran. And the reason why it's like that is because the Muslims were too rough and too tough and giving dawah about other issues. So the da'i today, he has to have hikmah, and he has to know how to put these things across. And he also can't apologize. The deen is the deen. If you were to ask a Yahud, will the Muslims go to the Jannah? They're going to say, no, Muslims are in the hellfire forever because they're not Jews. Christians are going to say Muslims are in the hellfire forever because they didn't take Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And a Muslim's going to go if he asks, are the Christians and Jews in the hellfire? We say, no, they are brothers because we don't want to step on the toes of the people. We say, no, those people went from the hellfire because that's our religion. But in putting points across, we have to be sensitive. We have to be easy. We have to be careful. So the followers of the Antichrist, the followers of the Dajjal, according to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will be the Yahud. He says sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, and what was collected by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu wa ardahu, yatba'u al-Dajjal min Yahud Asbahan 70,000 alayhim al-tayalasa. There will be 70,000 Jews from the country of Asbahan, which is by Iraq. 70,000 of them will follow the Dajjal when he comes out, and they'll have the clothes of the Persians. They'll be wearing the clothes of the Persians. Some of the scholars said that. At-tayalasa means they'll have hoods. Others said this is particular clothing of the people of that particular part of the world. So that hadith is authentic Sahih Muslim. Also, those who will follow the Dajjal that come to us in the hadith are the munafiqun and the munafiqat, those people who disbelieve, who are going to leave out of Medina. A Dajjal is going to come, and he's going to try to get into Al-Medina, but he won't be able to get in. He doesn't have the passport to get into Al-Medina. So when he gets into Al-Medina, he's going to camp out on the outskirts of Al-Medina. And the Malaika won't allow him to come in. So he'll camp on the outskirts of Al-Medina because there's a benefit in him encamping outside of Medina. When he gets there, Medina is going to shake three times with three earthquakes. And for those who don't know, Medina already is a result of an earthquake. So if you ever go to Al-Medina and you look at Uhud and you look at some of the other mountains on the outskirts of Medina, they are the residuals of lava that happened a long, long time ago. And the Nabi mentioned that, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So there's going to be three earthquakes in Al-Medina. When a Dajjal is encamping on the outskirts of Al-Medina, after the third earthquake happens, all of the hypocrites who were inside of Medina are going to leave, from the men and the women who are hypocrites. And they're going to join up with the army of a Dajjal who's going to set off in the earth in order to make fitna and fasad and in order to spread kufr and shirk and in order to take the people off of the deen. So we should understand some critical points about this. Number one, the person who follows the Dajjal is a kafir. No Muslim is going to follow the Dajjal. If you follow the Dajjal, you go outside of the fold of Al-Islam. You go outside of the fold of Al-Islam. You're either a Jew, you're a munafiq, or you're a munafiqa, and that's because he's calling to a shirk al-akbar, the major shirk that takes a person outside of Al-Islam. So don't let it be in anybody's mind that a Muslim can follow the Dajjal. Following him is a sin that expels a person outside of the deen, expels him. Because it's something that's known with the deen, with durura. It should be known with necessity. That if a man claims that he is the Nabi after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he goes outside of Islam. If he claims that and if it's believed, because it's takdhib of the Quran and the Sunnah, then what do you think is the case of an individual who claims that he is Allah Azza wa Jal and he deserves to be worshipped? So anyone who follows him, he is outside of the realm of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is connected, ikhwani, to what we mentioned yesterday, but we'll come back to it concerning al-bara' min al-shirk wa min ahli al-shirk. The religious responsibility that we have to disassociate ourselves from shirk and the people of shirk. To not make yourself a part of people of shirk and the mushrikeen. Not meaning you can't live in the same building with them. Doesn't mean that you can't live in the same city or country. Doesn't mean that. It means when it comes to what they believe, they're going out to the Dajjal because of what he's claiming, and they're going to believe in that. Because of that, you can't be with that group of people. You can't be with that group of people. One of the signs with the Mahdi is similar to that. When the Mahdi comes, there's going to be an army that's going to go to destroy him. And when that army arrives between Mecca and then Medina, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to cause the earth to open up and is going to swallow the army up. Aisha, when she heard that story, she said, Ya Rasulullah. When she heard that hadith, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why and how is the earth going to swallow all of the people up when with the army are people just selling and trading with the army? Bedouins, they don't believe that their goal and the objective is not to go and destroy the Mahdi. They found the army there, so they went to sell the army milk. They went to sell the army clothes, tents. They went to make money off of the army. And their goal and objective is not to do anything to the Mahdi. The Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah is going to destroy all of them, the army, as well as the people who were with them, and then Allah will raise everybody up based upon his niyyah. So those people who just went to the army to sell milk or this or that, they won't be raised up with the niyyah of trying to harm the Mahdi and to do evil and fasad. They'll be raised up based upon their niyyah. But they're going to have to suffer the consequences of being with the people of shirk and with the mushrikeen. So all of it is an indication, ikhwani, of al-bara' from ash-shirk and from the people of ash-shirk. Some of the signs of the Mahdi's coming out, wa kathiru mahiya, and many signs of the Mahdi, some of the more important ones, and there are quite a few, is that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us that there are going to be some futuhat where the Muslims are going to go at war. They're going to go to war with some of the major empires of the time, and they're going to defeat all of them, one after another, until finally they meet up with the Mahdi, and they're going to deal with him and his army, and at the head of their army will be Isa ibn Maryam. But that's one of the signs. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, Imran, Baytul Maqdis, Kharab, Yathrib. Wa Kharab, Yathrib, Kharuj al-Malhama. وخروج الملحمة فتح القسطنطينية وفتح القسطنطينية خروج الدجال. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the people are going to move to Jerusalem. The Muslims are going to make hijrah from all over the world to Jerusalem. They're going to leave Mecca, they're going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to go to Medina and go to Jerusalem. Those who leave Medina, the Nabi said, وَالْمَدِينَةُ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Medina was better for them to stay if they only knew. He didn't say that about Mecca. He said the people who leave Medina to go to Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, he said if they stayed in Medina, it was better for them. He didn't say if they stayed in Mecca. So the Muslims are going to migrate from all over the world, and they're going to go to Palestine. And when they go to Palestine, Medina is going to be destroyed. Medina is going to suffer because people are going to leave it. And then when Medina is destroyed, then the Malhama is going to come. There's going to be a lot of fighting and a lot of killing. And then when that fighting and the killing takes place, the place of Qistantinia is going to be conquered. It's going to be conquered. And after that place is conquered, then the Dajjal is going to come out. A hadith, the Nabi says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Muslims are going to fight in the Jazirat al-Arab, in the Khalij, and they're going to defeat their enemy. And then they're going to go and fight the Persians, and then they're going to defeat them after that. And then after the Persians, they're going to fight the Romans, and then they're going to win after that. And then after fighting the Romans, they're going to meet up with the Dajjal. And after meeting up with the Dajjal, they're going to defeat the Dajjal. So there are going to be a number of military campaigns when he comes out, or right before he comes out, with the major empires. From the signs of the Dajjal is what was collected by Imam Muslim. The Nabi told the people on the authority of the lady companion, Shuraik, radiallahu anha, and she's a tremendous narrator in the hadith. She said that she heard the Nabi say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, layafirunna nas min al-dajjal fil jibal. Qalat Shuraik, ya Rasulullah, fa'ayn al-arab yawma idhin. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hum qaleel. The people are going to run away and they're going to escape from the Dajjal. They're going to run away from him. And they're going to go up into the mountains. She said, ya Rasulullah, where are the Arabs? Where will the Arabs be on that day? He said, the Arabs on that day are going to be few in numbers. The Arabs in that day are going to be few in numbers. Sometimes when the Nabi mentioned the Arabs, he means all of the Muslims in the hadith. But in this particular hadith, he means the Arab, the jins al-Arab, the Arabs of this ummah. They're already the minority. The Arabs are not the majority of this ummah. Non-Arabs are the majority of the Muslims and al-Islam, and is from the proofs that show the alamiyah of al-Islam, the way Islam is a religion that is universal, because the religion started with the Arabs, but non-Arabs overwhelmed them and overtook them. So one of the signs that's going to be coupled with the khuruj of the Dajjal is the qillatul Arab. The Arab are going to be in a small minority. In addition to that, we alluded to this yesterday, the drought and the famine and the sicknesses that are going to take place right before the Dajjal comes out. And all of these, ikhwani, if a person knew about them, he has the ability. It doesn't seem right now that the Dajjal is coming out. Doesn't seem that right now. Where was the fight with Persia? Where was the fight with Rome? Where was the fight with Constantinople? The Arabs right now are a lot of people, relatively speaking. Doesn't seem like he's going to come out right now. For the most part, these ayat are not zahira bariza for the most part. But when we see them, they're going to be clear. From those signs is that the Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 years before the Dajjal comes, 3 years, there's going to be severe drought, and it's going to get more severe year after year after year. 3 years before he comes, Allah is going to tell a third of the rain and a third of the vegetation and the crops and a third of the animals to stop. And then 2 years after the second year, Allah is going to hold back two-thirds of the rain, and he's going to hold back two-thirds of the crop. The earth will not produce two-thirds of its yield, and the animals are going to die. And then the year right before he comes back, before he comes out, Allah is going to hold all of the rain. There's no rain. The problem that we see taking place in countries like Ethiopia, Eritrea, some parts of Somalia, that drought like that, the whole world is going to suffer from that stuff. So for a whole year, no rain, no crops, and many of the animals are going to die. They say, ya Rasulullah, how are the people going to live during that time? How would they survive? He said, they're going to survive by saying, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, and making the dhikr of Allah, taking their minds off of food and drink. They said, would that be suffice? Will it suffice them? He said, yes. When poor people are in that condition, Allah keeps them alive. And one of the ways that Allah keeps poor people alive is with the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, being connected to Allah. Some people die in the process, but that issue is in the hand of Allah. And then the people are going to hear that a God has come, that God, an ilah, has come, and that he has with him bread the size of mountains, and he has with him rivers that are flowing from his hand. So whoever goes and whoever believes in him, he's going to give him money, he's going to give him wealth, he's going to give him food, he's going to give him animals. And whoever disbelieves in him, he's going to have a tough time. So that's one of the most apparent signs of the Dajjal and one of the biggest fitnas that the Dajjal will pose for the people. The Nabi told the people at this hadith concerning this. He said, if any of you have any doubt during that time, then you should remember, لَن تَرَوْا رَبَّكُمْ حَتَّى تَمُوتُوا وَأَنْتُمْ تَرُونَ هَذَا الْأَفَاكَ الدَّجَّالِ وَلَمْ تَمُوتُوا بَعْدٍ. If this were to happen and you were to see it, then you still in doubt, then you should know that you're not going to see your Lord. You will never see your Lord until you die. يوم القيامة, the people will see Allah, not in this dunya. You won't see Allah, your Lord, until you die, but you will have the ability to see this pathological, chronic liar, and you didn't die yet. So as long as you can see him, you know for a fact that he is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we come to the fourth issue, and that is some of the characteristics of the Dajjal. And again, ikhwani, this is from the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal, and it's from what the Nabi says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ. There's nothing that will cause you people to come to the Jannah except I told you about it, told you to do it. And there's nothing that will cause you to go to the hellfire except that I prohibited you from it, I warned you from it. The Nabi didn't leave anything for the people to chance. He gave us the details of what we need to know about not only the signs and characteristics that are external to the Dajjal, but he himself, when he comes on the scene, the one with knowledge will be able to tell, this person right here is the Dajjal that the Prophet warned about. And we're going to come to that too, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And what was collected by Imam Muslim in one of the many hadith as mutawatir from the ulama of al-hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Dajjal is a'war al-ayn al-yusra, jifal al-sha'r, said that his left eye is missing, is blind, is messed up, and he has woolly hair. He has woolly hair. So it said his left eye in Sahih Muslim is messed up, and he has woolly hair. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, another hadith said that his right eye is messed up. His right eye. Bukhari and Muslim said his right eye is messed up. In this hadith, Abu Dawud, the Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i ibn Majah, it said his left eye. So the scholars of Islam, they said, okay, multiple things. Some scholars say we take the hadith of Sahih Bukhari and Muslim over those other hadith because those are the strongest narrations. And if a person does that, it's no problem. It's no problem. But in al-Islam, there is a principle, and that principle is i'mal al-nas afdal min ihmali. To try to work by all of the proofs is better than getting rid of one of them. Because if you get rid of one of them, you may be getting rid of the right one. And if you can possibly work with both of them, it's better. So as I mentioned to you yesterday, some of the scholars said, just believe it's the right eye. Other scholars said, no, it's better to use both of the narrations. In this hadith, Sahih Muslim, it said left eye, and other hadith said left eye. But Bukhari and Muslim has another hadith, said right eye. So those scholars said, both of his eyes are messed up. One is messed up more than the other. One is protruding like a grape. The other one is blind. It has a defect. So whatever the case is, we have to believe in both the issues because the hadith is authentic. From the descriptions he gave about the Dajjal, he said that the Dajjal is a short person. That the Dajjal, the way his feet are, they call it hen-toed. The way his toes and his feet are, like pigeon-toed. He said that he was woolly-haired. Said that the Dajjal was white in his color. He is white in his color. The racist Muslim can't come now and say, you see, the Dajjal is from the white man. The Dajjal is from the white man. In his reverse racism, because Christianity is a racist religion, it's institutionalized racism. If a group of people say that Jesus is the son of Allah, and Jesus is white with blue eyes and blonde hair,
then they're saying that the son of Allah is a white man, is like that. And that picture and image of Isa is not consistent with the description of the Bible, and it's not consistent with the description that our Nabi gave to Isa ibn Maryam. Isa ibn Maryam was darker in complexion, darker than this brother right here. He wasn't black, dark black, but he was like a reddish glow, brownish, leaning towards brown. So if the people say that Isa is the son of Allah, he's white like that, then white people, Europeans, it's easy for them to walk around on the face of the earth believing we're better than everybody because, look, God chose our people. And many of them have that understanding as well. So the Muslim comes, and he's a racist, and he has reverse racism, and he says, okay, Dajjal is from the white people. That's not the case that we're going to make it into a racial issue. The Nabi told us the color of Musa, told us the color of Ibrahim, and we don't make a big deal about those issues because, as the Nabi says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah la yanzuru ila surikum wa la ila amwalikum, walakin Allah yanzur ila qulubikum wa ila amalikum. Allah doesn't look at your shapes, tall, short, skinny, white, black, red, woman, man, and he doesn't look at how much money you have. Allah looks at your hearts and your actions, your niyyah, and he looks at your actions. Concerning the da'wah of, or concerning the characteristic of a Dajjal as well, one big characteristic that came to us in the authentic hadith that is well known is that he will have written on his forehead the word kafir. Kaf, alif, fa, ra, kafir. And whether the Muslim is able to read or he's not able to read Arabic, whether he can read Arabic or he can't read Arabic, he will have the ability to read. Every Muslim, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has iman and who sees him, will be able to read that on his forehead is kafir. And there's no sign bigger than that. You're looking at someone, you can't read Arabic, you see on his forehead kafir, and you know what kafir means, and you hear about these ahadith, you know you have to get in the wind and go the other way. But because of being inquisitive, and because of having weak iman, and because of having lack of knowledge, and because of being tricked by and mesmerized by tricks and the khawarik that he's been given, many people want to listen to him and follow him. And one of the brothers mentioned in the Q&A session yesterday that the New World Order, can it be a prelude to the coming out of the Dajjal? No doubt. The landscape is preparing for the Dajjal to come out because many people are just tricked. Muslims. We're a group of people who we believe whatever we hear, the news, whatever they say. If it's not your relative, you'll believe it. They'll put someone on the TV. He was arrested in Dixon. A girl is arrested. I don't know anything about the details, but because I saw her picture, Kofar says she was guilty. I'm going to pass that news on, says she was guilty like that. But in Islam, we have a minhaj, how to look at news and how to deal with things. We know how to believe and what not to believe in. People have to prove to us and have to bring dalil. The Prophet said about these days, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, satakun sanawat khadda'at. They are going to be years of deceit. The one who is truthful, people won't trust him. He won't be believed. The one who is a liar, people will believe him. The one who is amin, the people won't trust him and give them their stuff. And the one who is khatin, he's not trustworthy. People are going to leave him the stuff. So the point is, he's going to have that word kafir on his head. And despite the fact that he has the word kafir on his head, some people are still going to believe. But the people who have iman and have been given the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jalla are going to run the other way. We're going to stop here, ikhwani, and have a break, inshallah, for about 15, 20 minutes. About 15, 20 minutes, inshallah, then we'll come back to the second part of what we wanted to present today, inshallah, concerning the Dajjal. We won't take any questions until at the end of the second session. And again, we want to remind you that after Salat al-Maghrib today, 9 o'clock, 9:10, we're going to have the second talk of the Sheikh Hamid al-Tuwajiri. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Actually, I think we should keep going. I think we should keep going. And then when we complete this, we'll do the Q&A up into Maghrib time. So we'll keep going, inshallah, for a few more minutes. And then we'll do the Q&A. Inshallah, I think that's better. Afwan, ya akhwani, afwan. Concerning the dawah of a Dajjal, the dawah, as we mentioned, a Dajjal is going to call the people to his ubudiyah. He's going to tell the people that he deserves to be worshipped. He's going to give them a lot of indications and signs that he has power over Allah's creation. He's going to point to the sky and it's going to rain when he says for it to rain. He's going to point to the ground and the ground is going to open up and it's going to throw out its treasures. And if you come to him and you believe in him, he's going to give you what you're looking for and what you need. Some of us, no people, or we ourselves, have been in a situation with immigrations. You know, this problem of istiqrar, having security. Where are you going to live? Is a big fitna. I was in that case in the UK. After 5 years, I put my paper forward in order to get what they call indefinite remain to leave. This way I could come and go easy. I don't have to keep renewing my visa all the time. When I put that paper forward, they said, no, you are radical, you got to get out. But you have the right to appeal. When we appealed, there was a Jewish judge who was very fair and just, told the Home Office, you people are oppressive. They gave it to us. Not knowing where you're going to go, where you're going to live, how you're going to live, is a big fitna. It's a big fitna. Whatever your problem is, whatever you're looking for, power, you're looking for whatever, a Dajjal is going to be able to give that person what he's asking for by Allah's permission. So it's easy to sit in this masjid right now and say, man, I ain't worrying about that. That was me. I'm not going for the okie doke. I'm not listening to him. Now, if you needed that visa to stay in Canada, or you got to go back to your country where it's really difficult and you know how you feel, you can't sleep, you're worried, you don't know what's going to happen, and the Dajjal say, you need your visa. Just believe in me. There's some people going to say, okay, I believe, man. Just give me the visa. Give me the passport. Because of the fitna of what you're dealing with. So he's going to claim that he has the right to be worshipped. And what I just gave you is just an example. Whoever is in that situation, he knows what I'm talking about. If someone could just come, all it takes is for some minister to write his name. Just take someone to have rahmah on you and write his name. And your whole life will change. And you pray. That's all you want. But you don't know what's going to happen. It's a tough position to be in. Tough position to be in. And if I had to leave the UK, I'd go back to America. I'm not going to somewhere in Africa where life is very difficult. I'm going to go back to America. It's livable. What about the guy, the woman, the family? They have to go back. They have to be illegal. So that Dajjal, la'natullah alayhi, will have that ability by Allah's permission, as a fitna, to give people whatever they're looking for, whatever they need, money, whatever they want. Concerning this dawah of him having the right to be worshipped, if the Muslim knew the basics of al-Islam, he knows that no one has the right to be worshipped other than Allah, and that Dajjal can't possibly be Allah because of so many issues about his story. It's impossible. Many, just to name a few. As the Nabi used to tell the people, "Inna Dajjal a'war, wa rabbukum laysa bi'a'war." Dajjal, he has an eye that's messed up. And Allah, he doesn't have an eye that's messed up. Allah, his characteristics are complete. To have one eye is naqs. To have one arm is a deficiency. To have one leg is a deficiency. To have one ear is a deficiency in al-Islam. You're not a complete person. Doesn't mean other people are better than you, but you're not a complete person. In the books of fiqh, those scholars used to make kalam that the leader can't have one arm, that the leader shouldn't have one leg. And they have their reasons for that. But in reality, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a mu'adhin. He used to allow the mu'adhin, and who was blind, to be the mu'adhin. And when he would leave to make jihad fi sabilillah, when he would go to hajj, he would leave that mu'adhin as his na'ib of al-Madina. So the handicapped people, the people with special needs, they're not put on the outskirts and the fringes in al-Islam. They are part of society, and they can have manasib that are responsible. But we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal. Walillahi al-mathul a'la. Allah is complete and perfect in all of his characteristics. And that's the meaning of subhanallah. Subhanallah means glorified is Allah, high above being deficient in any way. When the Prophet would travel, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he went up a mountain or he elevated, his sunnah was to say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, Allah is big, Allah is the best. Whenever he traveled and he went down in an incline, he would say, Subhanallah, Allah is not down. Allah is above. Subbihismi Rabbikal A'la, Ar-Rahman, Ala al-Arsh istawa, wa huwa qahiru fawq ibadi. Allah is above, above. So, Al-A'war, the Dajjal, he can't be Allah because his eye is messed up. Another proof and point that we know that he doesn't have the right to call to be in worship is, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, on his head is the word kafir. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't have a head like that, and on his head is kafir. So that excludes him from being Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number three, Ikhwani, is that the people will see him in the dunya. The Sheikh, after in the morning at 11 o'clock, he's dealing with one of the books that we didn't mention yesterday about the books that talk about the usul of the Minhaj al-Salafi. It's a small book. I think they passed it out by two great imams of al-Hadith, al-Imam Abu Zur'a and al-Imam Abu Hatim, and both of them were Raziyan. They have the book called Aslu Sunnah. Al-Imam Ahmed's book is Usulu Sunnah. Theirs is called Aslu Sunnah. In all of those books, as I mentioned to you yesterday, they mentioned the Dajjal. So he's going to come to the Dajjal, inshallah, in these days. From the Usul of the Sunnah, Al-Iman and the Dajjal. And from the Usul of the Sunnah, in all of those books, is the point from our Aqidah, is that you have to believe you cannot see Allah in the dunya. Nobody can see Allah in the dunya. No human being has the ability, the power, the might to see Allah in the dunya. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah Ta'ala mentioned, لَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ أَنْظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكًّا وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَاعِقًا فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When Musa went to the mountain of Tur to meet his Lord, and his Lord spoke to Musa, Musa spoke to Allah, Allah spoke to Musa in a way that befits his majesty, Musa asked, Ya my Lord, oh my Lord, allow me to look at you. I want to look at you. Allow that. Allah told him, Len tarani. You will never be able to see me in this dunya. But look over there at the mountain. I'm going to manifest some of myself on that mountain. If the mountain remains and it can handle what I manifest, then you'll be able to see me. So Allah manifested part of himself on that mountain. And Musa looked. When it happened, Musa lost consciousness. When he came through and he woke up, he made Tawbah and he said, Subhanaka, glory unto you from being seen. Glory unto you. I make Tawbah and I'm the first of those who believe. In the book of Hadith of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, the Nabi said about this incident, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah Azza wa Jal manifested this much of himself. You see this finger right here where this line goes? He said Allah manifested this much of himself on the mountain, and he pointed to this part of the finger, and Musa wasn't able to handle it. Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the horn is blown, everybody in the world is going to be knocked out and lose consciousness. They're going to die. And then the second horn will be blown. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will be the first one who will wake up. And when I wake up, I'm going to see Musa already there holding on to the throne of Allah. I don't know if Musa was exempt from going out when the first horn was blown or he was awakened before me. So the point here is you will not see Allah Azza wa Jal in the dunya. Allah can only be seen yawm al-qiyamah. And when people see Allah Azza wa Jal, Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's going to be the biggest ni'mah. Now, I don't want to go into that issue, but it is a very important issue. The fact that we can't see Allah in the dunya is a rahmah to us, because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said between Allah and his creation is a hijab. Wa hijabuhu nur. لو اكتشف أو كشف لاحترقت ما وصل إليه مدى بصره. If that hijab was removed, everything would be destroyed. If that nur wasn't there, the light of Allah's face, his countenance would destroy the dunya. So the point is, you'll be able to see the Dajjal. So therefore, he can be and he will not ever be considered as being Allah Azza wa Jal. Another point, and we're only taking a few of these, is that the Dajjal, ikhwani, is ajiz. He's an individual who is incapable and unable. And Allah is al-Qawi. Nothing la yu'jizuhu shay. Nothing can prevent Allah from doing what he wants to do. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْءٍ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. If he wants something, you say, be and it is. He doesn't have to ask anyone. He doesn't have to. Whatever he wants, that's what's going to happen. The Dajjal is not like that. The Dajjal, for an example, he is going to be proven that he can't do everything. We told you yesterday the companion, Tamim al-Dari, he saw a Dajjal and he was tied up. He had chains on himself and he couldn't get out. He started asking questions about a certain whale. A well, W-E-L-L. He started asking questions about certain crops of Al-Medina. And every time the companions would answer, he was saying, when that water dries up, I'm coming. When those crops stop coming out, I'm coming out. So he was tied up. No one can tie Allah Azza wa Jalla. Another proof of his inability is, there will be a man, a young man, who will go to the Dajjal from the Muslims. And he's going to say to the people and giving dawah and in educating people, he's going to say, hey, you people, listen. This Dajjal, this man right here is the Dajjal. Don't listen to him. He's a liar and he's trying to take you off of your religion. Don't listen to him. The Dajjal will say to the people, if I were to kill this man and give him life again, would you people then believe that I'm your Lord? At this moment, there's still going to be people who are not sure. They're 50-50. Many people will believe in him. Some will run away. And then there will be the 50-50. They don't know. He's going to tell them, if I kill him and bring him back to life, would you believe in him? Believe in me? They say yes. He'll cut the man in half. And then he'll walk between both sides, turn around, and bring him back together after severing his torso. And then he'll say to the people, look what happened. The boy or the man is going to say to the people, now I have no doubt in my mind. It's clear to me, even more than before, that you are the Dajjal. Because that's what the Prophet said was going to happen. You're going to cut somebody in half and bring them back to life by Allah's permission. And that's what happened. Dajjal won't be able to kill him a second time. Just as Umar wasn't able to kill the young boy if he was the Dajjal, because Umar is ajiz. Dajjal won't be able to kill the boy a second time. And he won't be able to kill other people. Not like he just did with this guy. Kill him and bring him back to life. Now, this is a really important point, because the ulama who protected the sunnah, they're from the Ansar of the sunnah, they spread and defend the sunnah. They use this hadith to show the virtues of the sunnah in defending al-Islam. It was the man from Ahl al-Sunnah, from Ahl al-Hadith. It was the hadith. He said, I have no doubt that you're the Dajjal that the Prophet told us about in his authentic sunnah. The Quran didn't mention anything about the Dajjal as we mentioned, other than in those indirect ways. So all of the incident shows a number of issues. And one of the issues, what we're using it for, is the Dajjal is someone who is ajiz. He doesn't have the ability. If Allah Azza wa Jal put limitations on him, and he has limitations. One of his limitations is what we mentioned. He doesn't have children. He doesn't have the ability. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had limitations. All of his sons died. All of them. He doesn't deserve to be worshipped. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam died himself. He died. Anyone who dies, he's limited. So Allah Azza wa Jal has al-kamal, al-mutlaq. Allah is complete from every angle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is complete as a human being, as far as a human being goes. And this Dajjal, he has a number of limitations. Also, a Dajjal is in need of people. He's in need of people going to follow his army. He's in need of people to help him with what he's going to do. He wouldn't be able to get those other people without cutting the young man in half. The other people seeing that, he needed that man to establish what he was doing. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is not in need. That's one of the meanings of his name, As-Samad. As-Samad means he doesn't need anyone to do anything. To exist, he doesn't need anything. Anyone to do anything for him. Lastly, from the many issues that clearly indicate and show that he doesn't deserve to be worshipped is that from the names and the attributes of Allah, Allah is Kareem, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is Jawad. Allah is generous. He gives to the Muslim and he gives to the kafir. He gives to the one who has taqwa. He gives to the one who doesn't have taqwa. He gives to the one who is obedient, one who's not obedient. Whereas a Dajjal, he's only going to give people according to his desires. If you listen to him, you believe in him, you support him, you'll receive. If you don't listen, you don't believe, you don't support, he won't give you anything. You're going to have problems. So Allah is not like that. He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman in that, his rahmah is for everybody in the dunya. Everybody, without any discrimination. Everybody. And then Yawm al-Qiyamah is Ar-Rahim only for those people who die on a tawheed and they died on al-Islam. So from those people who also will fight against the Dajjal and repel this issue of his dawah of the haqq of al-Uluhiyah, is a tribe of the Arabs who are present today, one of the major tribes of the Arabs, and that is a tribe called Bani Tamim. The Nabi said about them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ashadda nasi ala dajjal Bani Tamim. One of the most difficult people who will give the Dajjal a problem will be the people from Bani Tamim. Their ulama, their salihun, their people of taqwa, their regular righteous people, and that's one of the ahadith that give virtues to this particular tribe over the other tribes of the Arabs. Now it's 7:30, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. We're going to stop now and then for about 15 minutes. We'll have a break for about 15 minutes, and then we'll come back after 15 minutes, and then we'll entertain the Q&A session. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Akhi, can you come here for a minute? Yeah, right there.